morning our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus, closing out the Sermon on the Mount there, says, "Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will he be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." This morning, the title of the message is Stacking the Deck for Your Family. You know, families can bring a lot of joy, or families can bring some pretty deep sorrow. Family life can either be a blessing, or it can be a curse. And probably in our own lives, we've had occasions when we had both of those, let's be honest. You know, we wish that it was always joy and blessing. But oftentimes, situations end up beyond our control, don't they? And many times we hope that we can influence people the way we think that they need to be influenced. Influence the people that we love without driving them away. That's the danger. Whether it's a child or a spouse, whether it's a parent or a sister or a brother that things might not be going well or have not gone well with, all of these can bring sorrow into our lives. Now, is there anything that we can do to avoid all of that? Probably not. We can avoid some of it, but probably not completely. Whenever we deal with people, we are dealing with independent personalities. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that people are independent? People are independent. They would like to hear your idea, but I guarantee you that they've already got an idea. So whenever you deal with people, you deal with independent personalities. And oftentimes it becomes a battle of the will. Many times it's survival of the most tenacious. Who can hang on the longest? James Dobson has written two books now on this raising boys and strong-willed children. And in his book he says those are some of the battles that you cannot afford to lose. If you lose those battles, you're in trouble. So we understand that there are some times in life there are battles that we can't afford to lose, because if we lose those battles, that has an effect for generations. Years and years in the future. Now, I've had a dollar. If I had a dollar, I didn't say I do have a dollar. No, that's all right. Thank you. If I had a dollar for every book that's been written about family problems, about how to raise children, how to get along with your spouse, how to deal with your parents, and on and on and on and on it goes. If I had a dollar for every one of those books, I wouldn't need anybody else's dollar. I'd be very well off. So there's a lot of information out there. Now, there's almost as many causes and solutions for the problem as there are books that people have written. Everybody seems to have a different idea. The question is, who will we listen to? Who we listen to makes a difference on what we do. Whose advice we take will greatly affect the way we handle our problems, our situations. It'll also affect our outlook on things. I myself am a great believer in prevention, you know? Prevention makes more sense to me than cure. In other words, why wait till something happens and then try to figure out a solution? Why not cure the problem before it happens? I think that one of the problems that we have in our society today is that we are great solution solvers. We like to solve the solution to the problem, but we're not very good at preventive. We mess up. We totally mess up, and then when it happens, it's like, oh my, what can we do to fix this? I think that we ought to work on more prevention. Much of the literature today that you would buy upon family relationships, most of it, a very large portion of it, only deals with how to treat problems, finding solutions for problems. And although, you know, some of it's good, it wouldn't be better to prevent the problem. The greatest work in the entire world that's ever been written on families is the Bible. I know a lot of people don't think that. People think that, you know, the Bible is an old ancient book and it's dusty and musty and you know, there's, you know, who could ever understand it? You know, we have a problem with the Bible. We don't think that the Bible can be understood. So we don't invest a lot of time with it. But you realize that the Bible is the best book on families that has ever been written? As a matter of fact, most of the books in my library that are about family problems and family solutions are writers who have taken the Bible and the principles in the Bible and written books around those principles and written some very good books. And those books are very helpful. Over the next 12 months, we want to present a message each month from the Bible about something that's important to family. And this morning, I want to talk to you about stacking the deck. Now, you know what I mean by stacking the deck. You know, you have to be careful when you're playing poker. I know that you're all poker players, so I feel free to talk like that. You know, you get these card sharps. You know, you've seen these guys who, boy, and they deal, and you don't know whether they're dealing out of the middle of the deck, the top of the deck, or the bottom of the deck. They're slick. You got to be careful. You know, those folks have been playing with those cards so long that they know how to, so to speak, stack the deck, don't they? The whole object is for them to get the cards that they want and for you to get the cards that you don't want. Is that possible to do that in the spiritual realm? Is it possible to stack the deck when it comes to families and family relationships so that you don't run into some of the problems that a lot of people do? I've had some situations here recently. I won't get into all the details. Had some situations recently in talking to people about some different problems that people have. And I've told them, I said, I think that we ought to try to address these problems from the preventative side. Let's fix it so that when people get to this point in their life, they don't have these problems to solve. They haven't made the mistakes. You know, there are some people that they can only learn from their own mistakes. Have you ever seen those people? You know, it doesn't make any difference. They can see somebody fall 100 times, but they got to try it themselves in order before they know it won't work. And there are some people that even after they try it, I can't believe that happened, so they have to try it again. But I think the preventive is the thing. And that's what these messages are aimed at, and the message this morning primarily is preventative. I heard a story one time about a successful architect. He was a successful architect. He had this contractor, and between the two of them, this contractor and this very large firm architect, they had built hundreds of homes over the years. And one day the architect called the contractor into the office and he delivered him this set of prints for a beautiful home. It was a fantastic home. And he it was all laid out what everything was supposed to be made of. And the contractor, he saw that this was going to be a very special home. But, you know, the contractor had become disgruntled. Have you ever noticed that people get that way? Matter of fact, some people are that way all the time. But anyway, he kind of got disgruntled. And so, his idea was, I've been working for this guy all of these years, and I'm going to get caught up with this house. He'll never know it. And so whatever it called for, he would go a couple of grades lower in the material. And he skimped here and he skimped there. And so the house on the outside looked like exactly what the print said, but the contractor knew that it wasn't. And so one day the contractor, after the house was all finished, he came to the architect's office and he put the keys on the desk and he said, "It's all finished." And the architect stood up, picked up the keys and put them in the contractor's hand. And he said, "It's yours. It's a gift for all that you've done for me over the years." You know, the sad thing of it is that the contractor thought he was gypping the architect, but in reality he was only gypping himself, wasn't he? He wasn't cheating anybody but himself. Now, the moral of that story is very simple. God has given us the materials to build a great life. And the trouble is that somewhere in our teenage heads, most of the time, we get all screwed up in our thinking, and we think, God's not going to tell me how to live my life. I'm going to live it the way that I want to. And we think that somehow we're taking what God says and we're going to do it our way. But in reality, the whole problem is that the only persons we're cheating is ourselves. The trouble is that you don't find that out until you're way down the line, do you? You don't find it out until you're way down the line. You know, you can go home this afternoon and get yourself out some Legos or some popsicle sticks. And you can build something out of it, and if it's all messed up, it's not a big deal, is it? Because you can do it all over again. But folks, life isn't like that. Life isn't like that. You can't go home and just say, all right, well, today I'm going to start my life over again and rebuild it. You can't do that easily. So the important thing is that we need to do some preventative things. And you know, isn't that why parents and children have the biggest conflicts? Is because the parents know where the path leads that the children are on. And the children are saying, Mom and Dad don't know anything. Isn't that the problem? Sure it is. They're saying, you know, Mom and Dad, they don't know, but you see, Mom and Dad have already been down that road. And you know, what's silly is that somehow children have the idea that parents are trying to shortchange. The kids get the idea that their parents are trying to shortchange them. Clear back in the book of Genesis, God had set Adam and Eve in this beautiful place. Everything that they wanted. Can you imagine? You didn't have to go out and work. All you do is take care of this garden. The garden provides everything that you need. And it's, beautiful weather, no tsunamis, no 40-mile-an-hour wind storms out of the north when it's only 7 degrees outside. Huh? Just think of that. And Satan talked Eve into thinking that God was shortchanging her. Isn't that what he did? Sure he did. He tried to get Eve to believe that God was withholding from her something that was better for her than what God had already said he would give. Many people live their lives like that. They are persuaded that God is trying to shortchange them. And so therefore, they're going to get their share. And the trouble is that by the time that it's all finished, they are the ones that are in trouble. You see, God's not trying to shortchange us. Don't try to cheat God. God loves us. He only wants what's best for each of you. And if you kick against God, and rebel against His ways, then you're only hurting yourself. Now, in the passage that we read for this in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was a pretty simple teacher. He said there are two different ways to go at life. Two different ways. He said, you can either listen to what I say and do what I say, or not listen to what I say. Don't do what I say. Very simple. He said, the one person who listens to my word and does what I says, he says, I'll tell you who they're like. They're like a person building a house. And before they ever begin to build the house, they pick out the right place. You know, what is that they say in real estate? Three things are important: location, location, and location. Well, Jesus had that down a long time ago. Location. Make sure you build it on the rock. Because when the rains come and the floods come, that's what's going to make the difference. He said, those that don't listen to me, those who turn away from my teaching, those who reject me, he said, those are the ones who are like the person that goes out and builds on the sand. And when the sand meets the floods, the sand can't support a house. And when the storms of life come into your life, if your life is built on the sands of this world, it's not going to support your life. Now, you know, I always thought that Jesus was kind of a straight-up type guy. But you know what he's saying here? He sounds a little bit like Bill O'Reilly. He says, if you build your house on the sand, you're a fool. Isn't that what he says? You're a fool. If you build your house on the sand, you're a fool. Not smart. Not intelligent. So, let's look at this passage just briefly this morning. First of all, Jesus is telling us that you need to be careful where you build your house. Because once you begin to build, you're pretty well set on that location. You ever notice that? Now, they've got something today that they call manufactured housing, right? You know, we used to call them trailers, but they don't. You know, that's kind of a low class thing, so they don't call them that anymore. Now they're manufactured housing, and it's kind of a neat thing. You know, you just, if you don't like this place, you up and move. You know, you go down through the trailer park, and gee, there used to be a house sitting there. It's not there anymore. I don't think that Jesus is talking about mobile homes. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about when you build a house, you got to find the right place to build it. Make sure that you start in the right place, because it's hard to move the house once you begin to build it. Now, It doesn't mean you can't move it. The house that Nancy and I lived in for a number of years, the one that Wendy and Howard lives in, used to be about 3.5 miles to the west. And we moved it. But it wasn't easy. I wouldn't suggest trying that. A lot of work. So the best thing is when you're going to build is you start in the right place. Build it on Jesus Christ from the beginning. From the beginning. You need to pray. Ask God to help you understand. Give you wisdom. James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God doesn't say, shame on you. You already should have that. He doesn't upbraid those who ask. He gives them wisdom if they will ask for it. So we need to pray. We need to read God's Word. Do you know if God speaks to you, about 99.9% of the time He's going to speak to you from the Bible. I've never gotten a letter from God. Never went out to the mailbox, opened it up, or to the post office, look in there, and it says, heaven, return address. Doesn't say that. God speaks to me from His Word. Just like He's spoken to thousands, and He speaks to thousands today. But you know, a letter that's unopened and a letter that is unread will never do you any good. You need to read it. And you need to get your children involved. You know, those people who say, well, I'm not going to try to get my children to do that. I'm just going to let them decide what they're going to do when they grow up. Well, you're just borrowing a lot of trouble. Jesus said you need to build on a foundation, the foundation of the rock. If you build on the foundation of the sand, then you're a foolish person. That's what He says. And so we can't do that. We have to build on what we know is going to stand. And where would be more important than to build our children's lives on the Word of God? The second thing I want us to notice about this is that the winds will come, won't they? Anybody here of any age that says the winds will never come, there'll never be any storms? The storms will come, won't they? The storms will come. Everyone's house will be tried. You know, when you start off in life and you kind of got the world by the tail, so to speak, and everything's going well, and you think, boy, I've got this all under control. Look out, folks, because you don't. The winds will come. The storms of life will come. It may be only in the long run. Sometimes the winds don't come in the short run. Sometimes they come in the long run. But it's your decisions and your skills that will be tested by the storms of your life. You see, Jesus said, the storms will tell test of the house. You say, well, I thought I was building on the right foundation. Well, evidently you were wrong. You say, well, I thought I was doing it right. Well, evidently you were wrong. Because if the house doesn't stand, then you know you've got a problem. Which brings me to the third thing, and that is that a fallen house cannot be hidden. You see, the idea is that the world is full of nosy people. Do you notice that? Sure it is. The world is full of nosy people. You can't build anything without the neighbors driving by going, what are they doing over there? What are they doing over there? They're watching what you're doing. Jesus said, what man sets down to build a tower who does not first set down and calculate what the cost of that tower will be? Because if he does not have the funds to sufficiently finish the house, everybody will come by, all those nosy people, and they will say, look, guy's going to do this, big guy, he was going to build this big house, and look at it now. You can't hide a fallen house. You can't hide a fallen house. Now, you may be able to fool people for a while, but eventually, remember, the storms will come. You may make them think that you're a great builder. Look at the way things are going. But the fallen house is a testimony to faulty construction. And then, lastly, what about if you've been building and you realize, you know, you go out, you look out the door, oh man, I've been building on sand all this time. What do you do now? You know, there's a lot of people that come to that point in their lives where they realize that all that they've built is in the wrong spot. Not on the right foundation. So what do they do? What do they do? First thing, you have to admit it. Does that make sense? You have to admit it. I was listening to Vance Havner, or I think it was Vance Havner, and he was preaching a message on Elisha. Remember Elisha, the Old Testament prophet? And the prophets are out here building something. And one prophet had went and borrowed an axe, and he's chopping down a tree. That was more exciting when I was like 17 than it is today. But anyway, he's chopping down the tree, and all of a sudden, he goes back, and the axe head comes off into the water. Vance Havner said, you know, that's a true situation of the church nowadays. We've lost the axe head, but instead of admitting that we've lost the power that we need to accomplish the work God has called us to do, we just chop harder. But it's not going to help, is it? Chopping harder without the power isn't going to help. And when you realize that you've been building on the wrong foundation, you first of all need to say, wait a minute, I've been building on the wrong foundation. If you just think that you're going to work harder and everything will turn out all right, you're silly. Because you haven't changed the basic problem. Wrong foundation. It will only make the catastrophe worse. So the first thing you need to do is admit it. The second thing you need to do is begin to build on the right foundation as soon as possible. Remember, if the foundation is faulty, then the whole structure is in danger of collapse. So if you realize that you're in the wrong place, you have to admit it. You have to say, all right, you look for the right place and you begin to build. You begin to build your life on Jesus Christ, not upon a worldly philosophy, not upon, you know, the commercials that we hear on television that try to tell us what the real important things in life are, as if people actually believe those things, but they do. You need to start with the right foundation. Now, that takes sometimes major life changes. That's why it's referred to as a conversion. Jesus refers to it as a new birth. Paul says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. But God is gracious. God is gracious, and He will be there to help us work through to get the job done. So you need to admit it. You need to start working on the right foundation. And thirdly, you need to realize that there are some things that you can salvage and there are some things that you won't be able to. You see, it'd be nice if you could live your life the wrong way for 30 years and then just simply move everything over to the right spot. But it's not quite that simple. You see, the trouble is that for the 30 years you've been building on the wrong foundation, some of that stuff can't come over. Some of that stuff is not going to fit in your new house. Now, you ladies understand that better than men do, right? You know, less than men. You never moved to a new house. I'll help you out here on this. Don't think that simply because you have a house full of furniture and decorations that it's going to work in the new house. No, 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 no. Because the new house is different than the old house. And, oh, I know it would look good here. I know it would look good there. Yeah, that's the way it works. So, men, I've saved you a lot of money if you just listen to me. All right. No, you can't salvage everything from the old house. You can't salvage everything from your old life. That's why it's as soon as you realize that you need to change, you need to change. Don't put it off. It's like this fella, honest truth story. There's this guy, you know, women and men don't get along very well when they're driving. Have you ever noticed that? And anyway, this honest true story. This guy's driving. It's somewhere up by Detroit or someplace like this. And he's out there on the interstate, you know. And she says, you missed your turnoff. You're going the wrong direction. He said, you know, I went on for 20 miles figuring out how I could turn around and get the other way without actually turning around. Now we laugh at that because what? Because that's stupid. Huh? Because it's true. Because it's silly. Why in the world would you keep going 20 miles in the wrong direction just so that you can somehow dignify yourself so that you won't have to say, I was going the wrong way? Isn't that silly? But we do it in life. Folks, if you realize you're in the wrong place, you need to get turned around. You won't be able to salvage everything, and there will be a lot of things that you won't be able to salvage. But what's important is that you build on the right foundation. So many people today try to salvage the shipwreck that they've made of their lives, but to no avail. Which brings me to the last thing Once you realize that you're in the wrong house, you need to realize that you can't live in two houses. You can't live in two houses. Jesus didn't say, the smart man is one who builds a house on the sand and a house on the rock and lives in both of them, because he has double insured himself. There are a lot of people that are trying to do that. They've got this little house over here built on the rock just in case their house on the sand falls flat. Folks, God's not interested in that type of allegiance. Jesus said, those that build their house on the sand will be ashamed, because when the toil, storms of life come, it will fall. Where are you building your life today? Are you building it on Jesus Christ, or are you building it on the sands of this world system? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that today you would help us to understand the importance of building our lives in the right place. Help us, each one, from the youngest here to the oldest, understand the priority that Christ needs to have in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we build our lives, to be trying to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help those that are here today, that even though they're building on the right foundation, things are not always smooth. But we thank you that you're there to help. You're there to carry them along during those struggles. It's in Jesus' name we pray.